forward, the vagina, will now be called the front hole.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fire you can't put out, and I apologize for startling you with that, but you gotta understand, the things that are happening in our world, the things that affect you and I, don't seem to affect, well, at the very least, the leaders of the conservative movement, one of those leaders being Mr. Rush Limbaugh. We'll get to that in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 264. My name is Melvin. I want to thank you so much for being here. So the headline over at MarketWatch is this. Almost half of Americans can't pay for their basic needs. Almost half of Americans cannot pay for their basic needs. Now, wait a minute. I have been told that the economy is going gangbusters right now. Everything is going absolutely fantastic. This has never been better, and that has never been better, and we're reaching this record and that record, and something interesting is happening. My wife, we're in Southwest Washington. My wife is on strike right now, along with the rest of her teachers, the teachers that she works with, because they haven't received a pay raise in about 10 years. And it's one of a number of states where teachers are now going on strike. So what's been told to us before is that we can't fix education by simply throwing more money at it. We cannot, now understand the language there. We cannot fix education by throwing. Okay, when you pay somebody for doing a job, you're not throwing money at them, right? You throw money at strippers, I suppose. I don't know. You throw money, you know, into burning pits. When you start wars, say in Iraq and Afghanistan, that never seem to end, that's where you're throwing money. When you're paying people who educate your children, it's a very different thing. So yeah, the numbers for the economy look good. Yeah, the stock market, which by the way, doesn't affect any of us when it goes up and destroys us all when it falls. And we're at full employment, right? And I myself, at the day job that I keep, I am being paid below market wages right now. That's a fight that I'm having, but I don't really feel like jumping ship. But there's a new culture in America where, okay, think about our parents' generation. Think about their parents' generation. If you were loyal to a job, they treated you good. There were pensions, there were regular pay raises. After World War II, up until Ronald Reagan became president, it was the largest economic expansion that we had, the largest expansion of the middle class ever. You hear about your parents' generation and their parents' generation. They stayed at a job 20, 30, 40 years. Someone would die while working at that job. I remember hearing a story from one talk show host I listened to who mentioned that even after his father retired from his job, which was in a tool and die shop, even when he was retired, he would still go back to that shop in retirement just to visit all of his coworkers, because there was this culture that was created. And what's happened with workers? We've become expendable. We've become disposable. And if you're loyal to a job, because this is competition, if you're loyal to a job, they're not going to continue to be good to you. That's what's happened with my bride, and that is what's happened with me. We're working on both of those things right now, but my story is not the point. And actually, hers kind of is, because hers is a much larger story. But for everyone else out there that's wondering where the hell everything has gone, right? Because we're told the economy's doing so gosh darn great. If you're wondering where all the money has gone, I think you know where all the money has gone. And it's not trickling down to us. And yeah, the fundamentals look great. The fundamentals definitely seem great. The economy is now designed to not benefit us, but to benefit only the wealthy. And then when you listen to conservative media, they tell you about, well, how it affects you. And why you need to be concerned with the wealthy. Because if the wealthy aren't doing well, then you're not going to do well. Remember, you're not poor. You're simply a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. So this from AP, despite a strong economy, many Americans are struggling to get by. About 40% of American families struggled to meet at least one of their basic needs in the last year, paying for food, healthcare, housing, or utilities. That's according to an Urban Institute survey of nearly 7,600 adults that found that the difficulties were most prevalent among adults with lower incomes or health issues. But it also revealed that people from all walks of life are running into similar hardships. The average unemployment rate for 2017 was 4.4%, a low that followed years of decline. But having a job doesn't ensure families will be able to meet their basic needs. This according to Michael Cartman, one of the study's authors. Among the households with at least one working adult, more than 30% still reported hardship. Economic growth and low unemployment alone do not ensure everyone can meet their basic needs, the authors wrote. Food insecurity was the most common challenge. More than 23% of households struggled to feed their family at some point during the year. That was followed by problems paying a family medical bill, reported by about 18%. A similar percentage did not seek care for a medical need because of the cost. Additionally, 13%, I got to go back to that one point. More than 23% of households struggled to feed their family at least one point during the year. And about 18% did not seek medical care because of the cost. I just want to remind you really quickly that we identify, and this has always been strange to me, we identify as a Christian nation, but somehow we can't seem to get health care to everybody. While startling data to some, it comes as no surprise to Americans that we're struggling to get by. Deborah Popolars of Nashville, Tennessee, underwent spinal fusion surgery last fall and was diagnosed with breast cancer shortly thereafter. Although she is insured, she owes, dig this, although she is insured, she owes $19,000 for her portion of her medical bills. Between disability, a job change, and the mounting debt, she hasn't been able to make ends meet and is now facing bankruptcy. The overwhelming majority of bankruptcies are because of medical bills. And the overwhelming majority of those had insurance when they had to declare bankruptcy. But what is happening on conservative media? Remember, Melvin listens, so you don't have to. And with all of this economic news, like serious economic news that came out this week, I listened to Hannity, and I listened to Lars Larson, and I listened to Limbaugh, a few others I'm forgetting. What in the bloody hell are they talking about?
Going forward, the vagina will now be called the front hole.
This is a real thing that happened this week. When all these other things are going on, you got the Mueller stuff, and Trump is getting even closer to impeachment, which is insane to think about because we've never, ever impeached a president. I still don't think it's going to happen here. But all this other stuff is going on that affects you and your pocketbook. The wealthy are doing okay. And Limbaugh decided this week to have a freak out about a story that I'm not even familiar with.
We're here today to discuss the LGBTQIA Safe Sex Guide. And at the root of the need for the LGBTQIA Safe Sex Guide is an anger. The people at the LGBTQIA are livid that a bunch of old white guys named human body parts. They don't like the fact that they have to call their vagina a vagina. It doesn't fulfill their destiny. It limits their capabilities. They need a new term for vagina to encompass all that they do in the land of LGBTQIA. And so I'm not making this up. Going forward, the vagina will now be called the front hole.
So this kind of freak out, really about absolutely nothing, happens all over conservative media. This story, where Limbaugh is talking about how liberals shouldn't be in charge of anything because they clearly have they have mental problems. And they have mental problems because they don't like the fact that we call the vagina the vagina. And they say, this is a problem that all liberals have. Can you believe these people? And they don't like that the anus is called the anus, and they don't like that breasts are called breasts. They want to rename every part of the... What the Okay, hold on. So this story that he's talking about, where he says these liberals are trying to do all this stuff because they... He's trying to paint progressives as psychopaths that much ado about nothing. I tried to find this article that he's talking about, this thing that is supposedly central in all liberal circles right now, where we're in an absolute effing panic about the names of our body parts. I couldn't find the story. I'm sure it's real, but I don't know. Maybe he found this story on the dark web. Because here's the thing. My circle is full of progressives. Yes, there are some independents. There are some libertarians. There are also some conservatives. But this is not a concern that any of us have. And I don't know what the... I don't know what he's talking about. And I couldn't find his damn story. So much of conservative media is finding these really obscure outlier type things, like the front hole, and panicking and going, why God? Why are things like this? Why are things this way? Furrowing their brows in a vain attempt to understand the world that has been brought to us by liberals. Just panicking and freaking out. And in their more honest moments, I hear conservatives say that they're concerned with change. Fine, fine. Slow, steady change. Let that be the way. I'm okay with that too. But to find these problems that aren't even really problems, and to just to devote all of your time going, why are liberals like this? Liberals aren't like that. But there is a cartoon in your mind, an inaccurate caricature, a boogeyman that you have made up in your mind as a conservative leader, as a conservative talk show host, where you need people on your side. The point of modern day conservatism is, and has been for some time, to protect the billionaires at all costs. To take the power out of the hands of people and to put it into as few hands as possible. And the way they do that is by putting it in the hands of incredibly wealthy people, because they believe that those people, by their very wealth, have been chosen by God. The way that they are blessed. This is Calvinism. The way that we know that they should be in charge is because they have all that damn money. And we, the people, electing people to the government, those people should not be in charge. That's way too many people. That's way too many voices. And this is why you see them trying to stop people from voting. They don't care what a majority of the people want. Find a very wealthy white minority, find out what they want, and then sell that to the people and tell them that's what they want. And when that doesn't work, freak out about the name of the vagina.
Going forward, the vagina will now be called the front hole.
The problem that we have right now is cheap money. When the economy is not doing well, go ahead and make money cheap. Because what you need to do is you need to find a way to get that money circulating through the economy. I'm completely cool with that. When times are good, you needn't do that anymore. Money should not continue to be cheap. But money is, and if you want to borrow money right now, it's good for you. However, if you are saving your money, you're probably not seeing a great return on investment, depending on what you've got it, where you've got the money parked. The growth in the economy, the honey in the economy right now, the sweetness that we all see, is not real. You have real money in your pocket. The unemployment rate is a real thing. Full employment, it's a real thing. But what's not real are the fundamentals that are holding it there. Cheap money is holding it there. And savings isn't doing that great. So what we need to do is we need to start raising interest rates so that we can stabilize the economy, allow the economy to stand on its own two legs, and those of you out there that are saving your money can get a better return on your investment. It's pretty simple, pretty plain. Trump is panicking right now because he knows that the economy really isn't awesome. And he's the guy who's been touting how awesome it is. And he knows that if interest rates get raised, sort of the napkin that is holding up the economy, if interest rates get raised, that napkin is going to get saturated. And the economy is just going to fall right through it. I know it's a piss poor analogy. It's what I've got, though. And so he is threatening the Fed right now. Don't you dare. Don't you. Hold on. If your economy is so effing great, then go ahead and raise the interest rates. Let's see what happens. You can't keep money cheap or free forever. It's that system, as well as it's working, will also collapse. And when it collapses, it's going to fall harder and it's going to fall faster than it did even in 2008. So Professor Wolf, I play a lot of his audio on this particular show. If you've not, Prof Wolf on the internet, I believe it's at Prof Wolf on Twitter. If you've not read any of his writings, if you've not heard any of his speeches, the guy is great on I love economics. He's great on these economic issues, and he speaks in a language that's very plain that everyone can understand. It's not this wonky echo speak. It's brilliant. And I think that when the terms that he puts it in makes it so that everyone can understand. So I heard him recently on the Tom Hartman show, and he pointed out, oh, it's not just the interest rates, it's also this tax giveaway that he did. You know, it just puts more of the national debt on the credit card, and it makes everything look real and it makes everything look great. But it's not.
Think of it as double steroids, because you have been pumping the economy up with more money. And then last December, you gave businesses and rich people a stupefyingly large tax cut, which they are now spending and using to buy back shares, to boost their dividends, and so on. You've put the economy on a steroid shot, both in fiscal policy with the tax cut, and now with monetary policy, as you keep preventing the closing of the money chute going into the economy. But I'm just reminded of the famous remark of King Louis before the French Revolution, après moi le déluge, that is, after me, let the storm come, but as long as I'm in here, I'm going to do anything and everything to keep hold of the power I have, and I'm not going to worry one bit about what happens a month literally afterwards, or let alone a year afterwards.
And this has been the operating procedure for the conservative movement for a very long time. And the idea there is that when they are not in charge, we cannot spend money. And what happens when the government doesn't spend money? It slows down the economy, and then the economy, you know, starts looking not so great. But then they get in and then they spend money like crazy and go, look how great everything is because we're in charge. And then when they leave office, they go, oh, look at all the money you've spent. As long as things look good, doesn't matter if they actually are good. This is not new. This is a long-term strategy that started with the Powell memo in the 60s. And simply continues to this day. I give you the words of David K. Johnson.
With the rise of Ronald Reagan, what you saw is this notion that government is the problem. Reagan famously pointed to a guy who helped save someone in the airplane crash in the Potomac River in the snow and the cold. He didn't point out that it was big government helicopters that actually did the rescues, brave as the guy named Lenny was. And Donald Trump brilliantly exploited this.
So we're told repeatedly, government is the problem. The difference between myself and most conservatives is that I'm willing to admit when I benefit from my own government. You remember the freak out when Obama said, you didn't build that during the 2012 campaign. He wasn't saying that you didn't do the work. He's just saying you stand on the shoulders of giants. You use the infrastructure that's been put there by the people that came before you. But of course, conservatives, in a deep and intentional misinterpretation, said that what he was really saying was that they did not build their business. And so there's all these businesses all over town, plumbers, electricians, roofers, with these bumper stickers that say, Mr. President, I built my business, not you. Furrowed brow, a vain attempt to understand, freaking out about something that's not really real. An intentional misinterpretation, almost like you just don't want to understand. What conservatives would love for us to believe, and this is the thing that Trump ran on. It was populist and it worked. And it was essentially what Bernie Sanders ran on. Big difference, though. Bernie Sanders would have actually saw it through. Trump used the populist rhetoric, but he's doing the exact opposite now that he's in there. The headline, this from Politico, top student loan officer at the consumer agency quits over Trump policies. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Seth Frothman, the student loan ombudsman at the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Said in a letter to acting director Mick Mulvaney that political leadership at the Consumer Bureau over the last 10 months has repeatedly undermined efforts by career employees to take action against abuses by student loan companies and for-profit colleges. It is clear, he says, the current leadership of the Bureau has abandoned its duty to fairly and robustly enforce the law, Frothman wrote in a scathing resignation letter, which was obtained by Politico. The Bureau's new political leadership has repeatedly undercut and undermined career CFPB staff working to secure relief for consumers. Frothman has served as the Consumer Bureau's top student loan official since 2016. He initially joined the CFPB when it was created in 2011, working on military service member issues as a senior advisor to Holly Petraeus. Frothman's resignation, effective September 1st, underscores the growing frustrations by consumer advocates and Democrats that the Trump administration is dismantling protections for the nation's more than 42 million student loan borrowers who collectively owe $1.5 trillion. In his letter, Frothman said that CFPB leaders late last year had suppressed the publication of a report prepared by Bureau staff that showed evidence of the nation's largest banks that were ripping off students on campuses across the country by saddling them with legally dubious account fees. The forgotten man, looking out for you. He's going to protect your retirement. He's going to make health care cheaper. He's going to make college cheaper. He's going to make everything better. But it's the exact opposite. The exact opposite. They're busting their ass right now at the CFPB, where they're being led by Mick Mulvaney. They're busting their ass to raise your interest rates, to saddle you with more debt, to ignore the abuses that are being carried out by student loan facilitators. They're actually working for the opposite of what you want. And then when this stuff finally hits the front page, and it may never, but once this stuff finally gets out, then they're going to say, that's the government for you. See, the CFPB has gotten back billions of dollars. When the CFPB goes after somebody that misrepresented themselves and abused you and ripped you off, they get your money back and then they give that money back to you. When the CFPB has people in charge that are honestly concerned about your well-being, about your future. That's the way it generally goes. But now there's a conservative in charge. So what he's going to do is destroy the agency and then turn around after destroying that agency and say, look at what they did in government. So he gets into the car and he crashes the car into a daycare. He crawls out of the car and then points and says, look at what someone else did. I know, another terrible analogy. Melvin's not good with these things. But this is part of a long-term strategy. And it shouldn't be working, but it is. And the largest reason that it's working is because we don't have politicians that do what they should be doing because they have to answer to money. That's the Democrats. The Republicans, they're not doing what they should be doing because they want to answer to money. The moneyed system, the moneyed media, that's all fine with them. Money, 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 money. The media. The media does what it does, not for political reasons, unless you're Fox News or InfoWars. They're clearly just mouthpieces for white billionaires. That's it. But with the rest of the media, and I'm including MSNBC in this. Yeah, they got Rachel, but they're still not awesome over there. Them, MSNBC, CNBC, CBS, ABC. They do what they do for the same reason. Money. If they talk about these particular issues, the things that I talk about on this mic, the things that I do not sit around and make up. So insane to me that the guys who sit around and make up stuff are far, far more listeners than this show does. But the things that I talk about on this mic, they can't cover. Because if they decide to talk about the student loan abuses, well, then the Kochs might pull their money. Because the Kochs need the student loan abuses. The Kochs need you to be subservient. They need you to be weak. They need you to not have a safety net. They need you to need them. If they talk about what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, well, then they just might lose advertising from the people that are making billions of dollars on those wars. If they talk about the bank abuses, well, then they might lose the advertising from those bank abuses. If they bring on some scumbag politician that is effing you over and say to his face, why are you effing people over? They might lose access to that particular politician and they might have to struggle to find somebody to come on their show. If you speak truth to power and you're in the media, you might be without a show, a spot on television before long. Because the way they exist is with that money. I understand that things cost money. I don't have a problem with that. But it shouldn't be the number one reason you do something. Because if it's something that needs to be done, it's very, very likely that it's not profitable. And therefore, it cannot be based around that. Our major media simply cannot be based around profit because they're not going to give us the information that we need. Our politicians should not be able to be bought because we're not going to get the work that we need done out of them as long as they are able to be bought. The Republican Party is probably always going to be what it is. Fine. But the Democrats, and a fair amount of them are starting to turn away those checks, and that's great. But it's not enough for me. I'd like to see more.
Donald ran for president basically on the platform I laid out in my trilogy, Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, and the Fine Print, about how the bottom 90% of Americans were being oppressed economically by government policies, that most of which nobody knew about until I dug them out of the record and wrote about them. And I said, you know, anybody who runs on this policy can probably get elected president, and look who did.
Right.
But now that he's in office, Donald has been pursuing totally different campaigns. The forgotten man that he spoke of, he's forgotten the forgotten man. For example, he promised to be the hero of veterans, but his budget proposal would reduce the benefits for some disabled veterans from, say, $35,000 a year to $13,000. His administration has taken the side of bankers against students in the student loan crisis. And who did they bring in to address this? Executives of the very companies that were engaging in the worst behavior.
So, bad news over at Fox. They keep running these polls, and the polls keep telling them the things that they do not want to hear. The latest one, headline here from The Hill, Fox News poll, Obamacare now more popular than the GOP tax law. Quoting here, Obamacare is more popular than the GOP tax law, according to a new Fox News poll. The 2010 health care law registered a 51% approval rating compared with a 40% approval rating for the 2017 Republican tax cuts. This according to a survey released on Thursday. So this is why you hear the Republicans who are running this year talking so much about the dangers of creeping socialism, because they can't run on what they did. Because what did they do? They gave a multi-trillion dollar tax cut to billionaires. They can't run on that. They started a concentration camp for children. God dang it, they can't run on that. They disrespected a war hero when he died. By the way, I do not have a deep love for John McCain. John McCain, for me, man, I remember there was a time, lordy, lordy, did I hate him. It's mostly on his war stance, you know, and his anti-LGBT stance. But if you remember from the 2008 campaign, neither one of the candidates that year were all that friendly towards the LGBT community. Wasn't until 2012 when Obama did become much, much friendlier towards the LGBT community. And I remember hearing him say that, and I go, oh, you are not going to get reelected. You don't understand how homophobic this country is. And clearly I was wrong. Yay, happily wrong. Whether you love him or hate him, I believe, as most of us should, that what he had in his heart was honestly what he believed. I don't think he wanted the detriment of the country. Yeah, gays were scary to him, and war sounded like a great idea. But I don't think he said those things or acted on those things because he's a terrible human being. I think he had sincerely held beliefs. I disagreed with them, but I don't question his loyalty and love for his country. I think his policies were dead wrong, but I don't question his loyalty to the country. Okay. With that said, when I use a phrase like war hero, which is fairly loaded, you know, and I could get eviscerated in any number of ways, I don't see him as a hero, but I do see him as a patriot. I'm just going to leave it at that.
We have elements who are driving wedges between people on the basis of race.
Very fine people on both sides.
Income.
I just don't want a poor person.
Religion.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims.
Gender.
Grab them by the
political affiliation.
Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not?
You name it. There is never a good outcome to that in a society.
So that was put together by Morning Joe. That was Ben Carson, not realizing that the person that he's talking about was his boss. I certainly agree with all the things that Mr. Carson said, although I find it unfortunate that he's not able to simply look to his left and look to his right and find his boss and go, you know what? These things are really about you. Another poll here that I want to give you, because the whole creeping socialism argument in America, it's a scary place and look out for socialism. It's not a real thing. Once again, let's panic and let's freak out about something that's not even real. And that the fact that they've gone back to the old playbook for this year's elections. And then, of course, we know now that the Russians are actively working to help Donald Trump again in this particular election. We learned that from Microsoft last week. We've heard it from senators and from the national security agencies. We know that Russia is working on our elections again. This is one of the reasons I'm not particularly confident about the blue wave, because I think the only way it doesn't happen, because no matter where you look, nobody is happy about the way things are going. Nobody. You've got the Nazis, the one-third of the country, and you got everybody else. So the Nazis are saying, yay, everything is great. We're loving this. Right, the child concentration camps and everything, they're loving it. The rest of us are not loving it. So if you get an honest turnout of people, I say the country, the House and the Senate, turn completely blue and turn Washington, D.C. upside down. But you got the Russians working with Donald Trump again in social media and any all the rest. It doesn't matter what any of us want. We're going to be told what we want. And if we don't believe them when they tell us what we want, then the problem is us. So this, by Megyn Keller over at The Hill, 70% of Americans support Medicare for all. This according to a new poll. A vast majority, 70% of Americans in a new poll support Medicare for all, also known as a single-payer system. The Reuters Ipsos survey found that 85% of Democrats say they support the policy, along with 52% of Republicans. So, why don't we have a Medicare for all system? Because it doesn't matter what we want. They don't work for us. It's a moneyed system. So when I hear the folks over on Fox News freaking out about socialism, it's in your closet. It's under your bed. It's probably hiding in your soup. Don't eat the soup. What they mean to say are the things that you want, they don't really care about. And they don't want you to have those things. Because if you're safe and you're secure, you have your needs fulfilled, and you're not straddled with debt, and during the next election, they can't use absolutely paralyzing fear to get you to freak out and jump off a bridge and vote for them. If they can't get that, then this just isn't America. And that is just an unfortunate truth.
When you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth.
Truth is truth. I don't mean to go like...
No, it isn't truth. Truth isn't truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Truth isn't truth. So I often play conservative media clips just to give you a glimpse of what's happening over there. But today I've decided to, I read some of their articles too. I mostly listen to what they say because when they're talking, it's a lot harder for them to hide their real feelings when they're talking because they know what's up. They know how they feel. When they sit down and they put pen to paper or their keyboard or whatever, they can really... build these arguments in a way which sound almost rational. And the truth doesn't slip out. But if the truth does slip out while they're typing something up, they can simply delete it. Okay, so I prefer to hear them talk more than to read their writings. Because the writings, I'm sure, have been read over, you know, read over and over 1,000 times to get it just right. So they know what language to use to draw you in. But when they talk, because they know what their real intentions are, I'm talking about conservatives. Conservative leaders, anyway. I can't speak for all the voters, but if you work at Fox News or you work at Breitbart, you know, or any of these other white supremacist agencies, well, then you, in your mind, you know what you really want. You know what's up. And when you talk, sometimes that slips out. But I wanted to read you this article by Lauren DeBellis Appel over at Fox News, a freelance writer from Fairfax, Virginia. She was deputy press secretary for Rick Santorum. So just to give you some background on who she is, I know I'm leaving a terrible taste in your mouth already, but here's what she writes for Fox News. It's about Ocasio-Cortez. She writes here, She says, while President Trump is busy making America great again, Democratic Socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's expected to win a U.S. House seat in November in a heavily Democratic congressional district in New York City, is calling for policies that would turn the American dream
into the American nightmare.
This is real. This is a real article giving you the conservative mind here. If you think that the socialist paradise nations of Venezuela, Cuba, and North Korea are the greatest countries on the planet, then Ocasio-Cortez is the candidate for you.
Socialism!
Let's freak out, right? Okay. Today, even China and Russia, once part of the Soviet Socialist Republic, are moving their economies away from socialism toward a hybrid state of control, state control and capitalism in order to build better lives for their people. And Eastern European nations that were once part of or allied with the USSR abandoned the failed socialist economic model years ago. Before I move on, remember, this president is working directly with Vladimir Putin. The Russian government right now is working to help Donald Trump during the congressional elections, the 2018 congressional elections, and to protect his presidency. Do you know right now, in Russia, they're not even reporting on John McCain's death. That's real. And now it's because John McCain, also not a fan of Putin, and called out what he did to his people. And one more thing that she doesn't point out here in her dip-dong article. Putin wants the USSR back, the United Soviet Socialist Republic. Putin, the guy in charge right now, who continues to steal elections in that country, he wants the USSR back. And Republicans overwhelmingly support Vladimir Putin. The president is actually working for Vladimir Putin. So you can't hate socialism all that much. She continues, nevertheless, the global failure of socialism hasn't stopped Ocasio-Cortez from advocating for her kooky socialist agenda. You know what, princess? You should probably run on your damn tax cuts.
Socialist agenda.
Don't worry about all the student debt. That's just fine. $1.5 trillion of student loan debt that you cannot discharge, that's just fine. The fact that you can get sick in America with health insurance and get screwed, still have to declare bankruptcy because you have American insurance. I've been getting a ton, and I mean a ton, of robocalls on my phone lately. A bunch of companies, and they're all recordings, and they're all trying to sell me health insurance. Well, I am a small business owner, and my health insurance is connected currently to my employer, and I do not like that. And I'm getting all these calls now saying, would you like to buy health insurance? It's cheaper and better than ever. Wait a minute. Cheaper, better. My God, where have I heard? Oh, Trump. President Trump. Trump's been saying that. So what is going on? So I decided to dig into this a little bit, and I was aware of the story, but I for whatever reason, didn't initially put two and two together. So after Obamacare became law, we have folks that sign up, you know, and get on the plans, but you had to get on the plans during open enrollment. If you missed open enrollment, you could go on these, whatever, I'm going to call them gap plans. Things that cover you for a very brief period of time until you are able to get more comprehensive insurance. And the law with these healthcare plans, and I use the term loosely, was that they're meant to be short term, only supposed to cover you for a short amount of time because they were not comprehensive. And they would tell you right in the plans, they do not cover maternity care. They do not cover cancer. If you ever need them to pay a claim, they're never, ever going to effing do it. They just want to get your premiums. That's it. But they were allowed to be sold. Anyway, you go, God dang it, effing Obama. They were meant for catastrophic, by and large. Just something to get you over the hump until you could buy into the Obamacare market. The law was that they could only cover you for a few months. That's generally all anybody needed until they got their Obamacare. Trump, who said during the last election that that Trump care is going to be cheaper and stronger and faster and better than ever, and it's, you know, going to have muscles and all the rest. He's finally implemented this Trump care that we've heard so much about. And what is Trump care? Well, simply put, it is this. It is those gap plans that were illegal to sell for more than a few months span, a few months of coverage. He's taken those and he's made those his official Trump care. And he's signed an order saying that they can now sell those policies to you for as long as 3 years. 3 years. Huh. What happens in 3 years? He's likely not going to be president anymore. So if the whole thing falls apart after he leaves office, then that's just fine. So these plans are for sale now. And what's happening is this absolute feeding frenzy by these vulture companies that really just want to collect as many premiums from you as humanly possible. They don't really plan on helping you. These aren't healthcare plans, and they don't cover anything. They're cheap. Oh, yeah. Yeah, these robocalls that I get tell me about how cheap these plans are. And they are. They're cheap. I've not followed through with any of these calls. I just read about the plans. They're cheap, but they're cheap because they just want the money. They don't actually plan on helping you. So my phone is getting hammered. And I try to block the number, the phone number. I don't take private calls. If it says private call, it doesn't even come up on my phone. So they use a phone number, and they're probably phone spoofing. But they use a number, and I block that number, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't come from the same phone number every single time. It's a different phone number every single time, which makes me even more at ease with wanting to buy health insurance from these dingbats because clearly I'm going to be able to call 300 different numbers if I ever have a problem. Of course, I'm not going to get help. So what this is fleecing, stealing, theft that has been officially legalized by the man who said he's going to be there for you. He's going to be there for you. He's going to look out for you, the forgotten man, and all the rest. Look, he's just trying to make America great again. And if he has to do that by doing drastic things, like stripping you of your health care and then selling you an orange peel and saying it's way better than the plan you had before. I know, crap analogies. That's Melvin. That's just the way things go.
We're going to have tremendous border security that will include the wall. That will include the wall. Now, a lot of people don't know it, but we've already started the wall. We got $1.6 billion. And we've started large portions of the wall, but we're going to need, even the way we negotiate, we're going to need more, and we're going to get more, and we may have to do some pretty drastic things, but we're going to get it.
So the headline here is that the countdown has already started. This, according to The Independent. Donald Trump has been told that the countdown to impeachment has already started. The people that are surrounding him. There's an article that was printed recently in the Washington Post called Winter is Coming, and it's talking about how ill-prepared this president is, not just for the legal storm that's potentially coming, but the political storm and all the rest. And he has been told to his face, sir, the likelihood of impeachment is more palpable than ever. And he just doesn't understand why that is.
What grade do you give yourself so far?
So I give myself an A plus. I don't think any president has ever done what I've done.
I give myself an A plus.
In Texas and in Florida, we get an A plus. And I'll tell you what, I think we've done just as good in Puerto Rico.
I would give myself an A plus. Nobody has done what right. I've been able to do. And I did it despite the fact that I have a phony cloud over my head that doesn't exist.
Okay, so remember, in Trump world, everything is the opposite. So A means F. And of course, up means down. And of course, in means out. And of course, great means bad. So everything in Trump is absolutely opposite world. And he just doesn't understand why. Why, oh, why? When he's such an A-plus president, why anybody would impeach him? So fear. And here's the way it goes. Because remember, the economy was absolutely destitute. We were all hurting. All in pain, just clutching our chest and we can't handle it. Oh, my God. Just economic turmoil before this guy arrived. And then he got there and he waved his magic wand with his tiny hands and everything is better now. And he doesn't understand why we would want to impeach him. I'm not completely behind the idea of impeachment, by the way. I want to point that. I think I pointed that out on the show. I think there's better ways to do this. And I think he's going to resign anyway. But he says, you know what? Don't impeach me. Because if you do, it's going to crash the economy. What?
I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job. I'll tell you what, if I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash.
The reason we have not seen impeachment so far, and all of the hallmarks that we look for are there for impeachment, but the reason we haven't seen it so far is because the Republicans seem wildly unwilling to use their check on this guy. Because there's a political calculation being made. Because even if they find him personally, morally repulsive, they need to stick with him anyway. Why? Because, well, the Nazis that put them in power and put Trump in power, well, we'll kick them out of power and put somebody in there who will love Trump like a father. And so the political calculation that is made is that I would like to stay in my current position as senator, as House member, and I cannot speak out against him. And for a while, this included Lindsey Graham.
If the president fired Robert Mueller, do you think that would be an impeachable offense?
Probably so, if he did it without cause, yeah. The stop investigation without cause, I think, would be a constitutional crisis.
Have you told him that specifically, Senator Graham, so that he hears it from Republicans? Do not fire Bob Mueller?
I think I just did.
Okay.
But now, even Lindsey Graham is behind the idea of firing Jeff Sessions. Fire Jeff Sessions, put somebody in charge who would be willing to fire Mueller, and that's the next step. So even people that have been critical of Donald Trump, like Lindsey Graham, who said that the way you make America great again is by telling Trump to go to hell, that guy is now behind the idea of firing Jeff Sessions. By the way, I don't like Jeff Sessions. Nobody likes Jeff Sessions. Not even Jeff Sessions likes Jeff Sessions. But we know that if Jeff Sessions gets fired, the next thing that's going to come is the Saturday Night Massacre. All right, I want to finish up with this. Circling back around to the teachers again. Big support for the teachers. Hashtag red for Ed. They deserve a raise. But what is being talked about this week by the Secretary of Education? Well, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think is being talked about this week by the Secretary of Education?
School districts may soon be able to use federal funds to buy guns to arm teachers. That's according to a new report in the New York Times. The Times reports the department is eyeing a program in federal education law, the Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grants, that makes no mention of prohibiting weapons purchases. That omission would allow the Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos, to use her discretion to approve any state or district plans to use grant funding for firearms and firearm training.
Teachers need a raise, a cost of living increase, a COLA. Teachers, but no. The person that's been put in charge of the Department of Education, what they believe teachers need are guns so that they can murder students. I mean, not students, grizzlies. Hashtag guns for grizzlies. So I know I can seem cynical, and I know that it seems like I, as much as anybody, has bought into the fact that the system is broken, the system is rigged. I know it can seem that way. But I'm not. And for all of my cynicism, I believe, and I know it's a slogan, I believe that our best days are ahead of us. And that what we are currently experiencing really is little more than another test on our almost 300-year-old experiment into democracy. But I believe, despite the fact that we've seen a rise with Nazis, and we've seen a rise with racism, and we've got concentration camps for children. Despite all of those things, I believe that we can do better. And better than that, I believe that we will do better. these things, unfortunately, sometimes have to reach a boiling point. And of course, sometimes the boiling isn't enough. Sometimes that pot has to explode and get all over the ceiling. And then sometimes it has to explode and take the gosh darn ceiling with it. Isn't it funny how I sort of faux swear? Best days ahead. Worry not, my children. As long as the rest of you get involved. And by the way, I do a little show here. A little bit of entertainment. A little bit of talking. Something to so you can listen to on your long drive to wherever you're going. But the real point of what I'm doing here is to plant a seed. To get you thinking about things. And to make you want to move. It is not to say that what I'm doing here on this mic is enough, because it certainly is not. Action is also needed. And that doesn't just go for me. That definitely goes for you. So we can talk about these things, and that's great. And we can make jokes, and I can sit on this side of the microphone and, you know, use all these funny voices and make jokes and fart sounds and all the rest. But that's not to negate the seriousness of the situation. It's time for everybody to get involved. Take back your part, your America. We can get there. Don't worry about it. And we will. Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podme.com. Listen on the go. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store for Android listeners. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store or at Podbean. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out. You can also subscribe so you never miss an episode. Questions, comments, hate mail, just a general statement here. You can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are The Fire You Can't Put Out. We will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin, my brother, for producing. And special thanks to you for listening. Yeah, I know you out there. I'm right here. I'm right here, folks. This is Melvin, signing off. Now that I've woken you up, good morning.